Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbours and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, she came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbours were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
I think we've got our readings a little bit out of phase, but I hope you won't mind that too much. 16 days to go. I wonder how your shopping is going. My wife tells me that ours is going very well, so that's good. Mind you, I'm getting a little bit worried by one or two of the things that I'm reading. For example, in the iNewspaper yesterday, it told me how many presents I could expect to receive as a granddad. It told me that the eldest child in a family would get something like 5.45 presents. Not in our family, they won't. They'll get about 54.5 presents. Anyway, 5.45, remember that number? It said Dad would get 2.48, the family pet would get 1.91, and Grandad would get 1.84. So, Grandads, be prepared. Back to our Advent theme. I wonder if you ever forget where you've read something. Yeah? Anybody? Yes. Just in case, it gets worse. For those of you who are young, it gets worse when you get older. You forget things. Okay? I've read several books and several little leaflets and quite a lot on the internet about Advent. One thing, which I can't find now, told me that the word Advent is Latin, and it comes from the Greek word, it translates the Greek word parousia, meaning coming. And of course, in Christian circles, we usually think about parousia from the book of Revelation, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Very frustrating I can't find it, because there was something else quite interesting. It reminded me that the coming part of Advent points towards the first coming of Jesus Christ at Advent, but also towards the second coming of Jesus at the end of time. And then it added that we also need to be thinking and celebrating during Advent the Advent, the coming of Jesus into the hearts of believers, into the hearts of you and me as Christians. So Jesus, Emmanuel, came at Christmas time. That's what we're going to be celebrating in the next few weeks. He will come at the end of time, and he has come into the hearts of you and I as believers today. I'm not sure that I'd ever put those three together, which is a bit silly, isn't it? Because they obviously do fit together, as our readings will reveal as we go through them a little bit today. I want to use as our text today verse 6 from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul is, of course, referring to and applying it to his dear friends in Philippi. In our passage, he thanks God for them. How often he starts his letters like that. Thank you, God, for these people, my friends. He tells them and he prays for them. He tells them he's joyful because they share in a partnership with him about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. He finishes with specific prayers for them, which we'll look at in a minute or five. I want us to explore how that text applies to our gospel reading, but how it also applies to you and I today. Luke 1 has got the most amazing accounts of God using Zechariah, and then Elizabeth, and then Mary, preparing them for the coming of firstly John, the messenger, the forerunner, then Jesus, the Messiah. I encourage you to read Luke 1 and 2 and Matthew 1 and 2 as you prepare for Christmas this year. God's good work in Zechariah had obviously begun some time before, as he had called him to himself, and then he had called him into the ministry of priest for the whole of his life. But as far as today's deliberations are concerned, it continued for him when he was chosen to go into the temple to burn the incense. Now, this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity as he was called out of the group of priests. It's your turn. The lot has fallen on you, Zechariah. I think God might have had something to do with that, don't you? Because he wanted to tell him something which was going to change his life and was also going to profoundly affect the people round about him. When he was in the inner sanctuary of the temple, an angel appeared to him. It tells us in Luke in chapter 1, an angel appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled. Would you have been startled if an angel had appeared to you? If an angel appeared in the middle of the congregation today? I guess we would be startled. And it tells us he was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth." We don't know exactly how old Zechariah or Elizabeth were, other than the fact that they were well on in years. "How can I be sure of this?" Zechariah says, "because I'm an old man, and my wife is well on in years." But the appearance of the angel and his words to Zechariah made him slightly unsure of what was going to happen. Verse 18, Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? Because I am an old man and my wife is well on in years." And the angel answers, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you the good news. Now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you didn't believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Was that a rebuke, do you think? Or was it a sign to him and the people round about him? Well, we don't know. But certainly God's work continued in both Zechariah and Elizabeth as she became pregnant, as she had a most wonderful, prolonged conversation with Mary, the mother of our Lord. And then she gave birth to the one who Isaiah had prophesied as a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord." And then at the naming ceremony, Zechariah received his voice back as he confirmed the name of his son and then proclaimed, "You, my child, will be a prophet of the Most High, for you'll go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him." Even John the Baptist. We hear nothing more about Elizabeth or about Zechariah after Luke in chapter 1. So it's probably that God called them to be with him in heaven. But God's work in their son continued as firstly he prepared him. Verse 80 of that first chapter tells us, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared to Israel." Then he literally prepared the way for the Lord by preaching, by baptizing those who came in repentance in the River Jordan, until Jesus himself came and in turn was baptized as well. And John acknowledged that one more powerful than I will come. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And soon after that, Herod Antipas ended John's ministry by arresting him, and then ended his life by chopping his head off to please his illegal wife. So for Zechariah and Elizabeth and their son John, the day of Jesus Christ had arrived, because Jesus, the Saviour of the world, was there in the flesh, ministering in power with the authority of Almighty God in Palestine. People were changed. Men and women and children were healed. Lives were redeemed by the Son of God at work amongst the ordinary people. The Old Testament told us to look for Emmanuel, God with us. He has arrived. And then for the people who St. Paul was writing to at Philippi, and for the majority of people here at St. Andrew's on the 9th of December 2018, God has begun a good work in you. God has begun a good work in you. For many of us, it began a long time ago when we answered the knock of Jesus on the door of our hearts. And he spoke the words, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and him with me." For you, it may have been a gradual process like me. Or it may have been something very sudden where you realized your sinfulness and your need to come to Jesus and confess your sin and receive forgiveness and then give your life to him. Every person's experience is different. I'll say that again. Every person's experience of receiving Christ is different. But they're equally valid, whether they were sudden or gradual, whether it was this year or whether it was 80 years ago. There may be one or two here today who have never asked Jesus into their lives. I recommend him to you. And I ask that you consider inviting him into your life today. Please, if that's you, talk to me or talk to one of the other Christians that you know here, or go into the chapel here towards the end of the service and ask somebody to pray with you. And allow God to begin a good work in you. And of course, this good work continues. It carries on as the amazing grace of God continues to work in us from the inside out. His indwelling Holy Spirit refines us day by day into the image of Jesus Christ. This is what St. Paul is referring to in the last few verses of our reading. So in verse 9 to 12 he says, "This is my prayer," I told you we'd come back to it, "that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." As we allow Jesus to work within us, his fruit will grow more and more as we display his likeness. Paul in Galatians talks about the fruit of the Spirit and lists 9 things, which I'm sure you all know. But here he refers to us being filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. Meaning being in right standing with God, being right with God through Jesus Christ at work within us, enabling us to discern what is right and to do his stuff, the things that he wants us to do in his power. I wonder, do any of you have trouble deciding what is right in a particular situation? One or two hesitant nods. What should I say? What should I do in this particular situation? I certainly have problems with that. But imagine if we didn't have Jesus Christ. We would stand very little chance of coming to the right decision. But with him, that's what it would be like without Jesus Christ. But with him, at the centre of our lives, the more we learn to pray, to listen and to obey him, the more chance we have of getting it right. And then our love, which is really Christ's love in action in us and through us, will abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight. I don't know about you, but I want more knowledge and depth of insight through Jesus Christ. And because God wants his good work to carry on in and through you and me forever and ever, he says it's going to go on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. For the Philippians and for you and me, that means that God's work is going to go on in us until Jesus Christ comes again, forever and ever and ever, no end. In the last few pages of this wonderful book, God tells us what it's going to be like at the end of time. It says in Revelation 21 and verse 3, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men and women, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." In the meantime, for you and for me, Advent is the season when we prepare and when we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ as the Saviour of the world to the stable in Bethlehem. It's when we celebrate and rejoice that Jesus has come to dwell within us by his Holy Spirit. And it is the time when we look again to Jesus coming to reign in splendor and majesty at the end of time to the glory and the praise of God. A story to finish with. A young entrepreneur is employed by a large multinational company. He has an idea that he believes might make some big money for the company. His superior backs him in his venture, and he gives it his best shot. But all does not go well. The plan goes wrong, and he loses millions of pounds. He's called to the office of the managing director. Chastened and dejected, he enters the office, fully expecting to be given the sack. The managing director sits him down, talks through the whole sorry business to help him make sense of what has gone wrong, and tells him what can be learned from the experience, thanks him for his time, and sends him back to his desk. As he gets up to leave, the young man says to the managing director, "I thought you'd brought me up here to give me the sack." "The sack," says the managing director incredulously. "We've just invested several million pounds in your training." God has invested in you and me through Jesus Christ, through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, through his ascension, through his glorification in heaven. He has given that to you and to me. So let us rejoice and thank the Lord that he who began a good work in you and in me will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? One or two of us do. Say it with me, and instead of you in the second line, put me. He who began a good work in me will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Again, he who began a good work in me will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen.